One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, its owner, to put it out a little into the water. There he sat in the boat and taught the crowds. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, "Now push out where it is deeper, and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Peter replied, "we worked hard all night and caught nothing." "But if you say so, I'll push out and let the nets down again." This time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. I want to begin with a quote by Pastor John Piper. If there is a creator God, as I believe there is, and if he rules the world in his sovereignty, as the Bible says he does, then two of the most important questions for any human being to answer are, first, what is God's goal in creating and governing the world? And second, how can I bring my life into alignment with that goal? That makes great sense, doesn't it? For if our lives are not in alignment with God's goal, then we will find ourselves at cross purposes with God. And it's a fearful thing to be at cross purposes with your Maker. On the other hand, nothing can inspire more confidence, joy, and contentment in your daily living than knowing that God has a purpose for you and that you are wholeheartedly in harmony with it. Let me say that again. Nothing can inspire more confidence, joy, and contentment in your daily living than knowing that God has a purpose for you and that you are wholeheartedly in harmony with it. I want to expand on this here on Rally Day 2018. As most of you know, I wasn't here last weekend because I went back to my roots, back to my childhood home in Lisdon, Indiana, where we celebrated my dad's 90th birthday. We held an open house in the community room at the local bank, and well over 100 of his closest friends and acquaintances came by to wish him well. Frankly, I was overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and respect that all these people have for my dad. Now, some of them I knew, some of them I met for the first time. And today, I want to share with you, my church family, some of my experiences and thoughts of that day, because they made me think about what Pastor Piper said about God's goals and how our lives should be in harmony with God's purpose for us. Well, the first thing is that since my parents have told nearly all their friends that I'm a pastor, many of them wanted to make it a point to talk to me about their church and faith. That doesn't happen so much at parties in the Northeast. But in the Midwest, church is still a very integral part of life. And I remembered that one of my first aha moments I had of my father was in our church, which we attended every week. I was about 12 years old, and he was talking to a man in the fellowship hall. Now, this man was someone that many people might say lacked some of the most basic social skills. He was difficult to deal with, a little rough around the edges, and, truth be told, not very well loved in the community. But Dad was conversing with him in such a pleasant and amicable manner that I could just sense that I was witnessing true Christian fellowship, Christian hospitality, Christian love that made that man feel important and accepted. And I looked around the church, and I looked at them, and I said to myself, I want to be like Dad someday. And my point is, I believe the church has the ability to mold all of us, especially our kids, in a unique way. You see, the church is, or should be, a welcoming place that reflects the love of Jesus Christ, who sat down and welcomed saint and sinner alike, and went out of his way to befriend the marginalized. Now, it is here that we learn how to exemplify God's love in our lives. Because I'm afraid the world out there doesn't know that kind of love. Now, the next thing is a real sign of the times. My high school speech teacher, who's also a good friend of my parents, was there. And Mr. Cincius would once in a while give us an assignment where we would have to bring in an object, stand up in front of the class, and give a speech about it. Well, one of my classmates, Martin, who farms with my dad, was also there. He was a good friend then, and today is a loving husband and father. And as the three of us reminisced back nearly four decades, we remembered one of Martin's speeches and were struck by the irony of what he was able to do. Can you guess what object he brought into school that day? A rifle. Yep, he walked right through the front doors, past the offices, down the hall, and into the classroom. Because you see, back then, a gun represented the reality of living out in the country, on a farm. It might have to be used to put down a sick animal, or to put food on the table, or for protection. But it was nothing we were overly frightened of or had to make rules about. Maybe it had something to do with loving and trusting your neighbor. That was something taught to me at church back then, too. Love your neighbors. Care for your neighbors. Encourage and support one another. Because if people feel that, a bond develops that creates a trustworthy community, where there is no need to be afraid of each other. You know, today it seems just the opposite. People are untrusting and don't even seem to like one another. And I really think it's because too many people are unhappy with themselves. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. And a final thing that struck me was all the farmers there. John and I were talking about how you could tell the farmers from the bankers, the school teachers, the regular Joes. The faces and arms of the farmers were all tanned from spending hours in the field under the hot sun. Their grip when they shook your hand was firm, not hard, but you could feel their calluses. They were very matter-of-fact, no-nonsense kind of people. After all, they're farmers. There's a certain practicality about their lives. They plant, they fix equipment and fences, they paint and build and replace. They're always working the ground so that the seed is deeply planted in rich soil, not shallow soil. They hope for rain, hope for the rain to stop. They wait for the harvest. And you know what all that does? That makes them very non-pretentious, very humble individuals. And yet they're very self-assured in themselves and in their purpose, because they know their place before God. That too I learned in church. Jesus saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Farmers seem to understand that. Now, as I share this with you, I don't mean to imply that farmers and people from the Midwest are perfect. Far from it. But for a few hours at Dad's 90th birthday celebration, I saw the influence of the church, the sense of community and fellowship, and the confidence of a people who definitely felt their lives were aligned with God's purposes for them. And in today's scripture, we find not a farmer, but a fisherman who experiences that same thing. Let's review what happened. It's morning, and Peter has had a long, unproductive night of fishing. Now, a fisherman's life, like a farmer's life, is also hard and practical. Mending sails and nets, dragging the boat in and out of the water, rowing when there was no wind, fighting the waves when there was, spending all night lowering the nets into the water, dragging them, pulling them up, hoping for fish. And sometimes you caught fish, sometimes you didn't. And if you came up empty-handed, well, that's just a typical day in the life of a fisherman. And so it is for Peter. Instead of selling what he's caught, he's empty-handed, exhausted, and frustrated. But then he sees his friend Jesus preaching the word of God to what has become a rather large crowd. Now, Peter knows Jesus. Jesus has been to his home and even healed his mother-in-law of an illness. And so when Jesus climbs into Peter's boat and asks him to put it out a little into the water, into the shallows, so to speak, Peter does so willingly, because it's easy to be in shallow water. But the thing is, Jesus really has other plans for Peter. After he finishes teaching, he says to Peter, "Push out where it is deeper and let down your nets." Now, I'm sure at this point, Peter is thinking something along the lines of, "What? I mean, no offense, Jesus, but I'm the fisherman. I've tried already, and it's no use." Fortunately, however, Peter exercised more tact than that. "The master," he says, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will push out and let the nets down again." So Peter pushes out into the deep water. An incredible thing happens. He catches so many fish that the nets begin to break and the boat starts to sink under the weight of all the fish. So what does Peter do? Well, he realizes at that moment that this is not just Jesus, the preacher, the teacher, the healer. This is Jesus, the Lord God. The one the Bible tells us is sovereign over all things. And in all humility, he falls at Jesus' feet and cries, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But of course, Jesus didn't do that. For Jesus didn't bring Peter out to the deep to then abandon and leave him. No, Jesus brought Peter out to the deep so that Peter could experience the power of God. So that he could experience abundance and fruitfulness, joy and life. And he said to him, "From now on, you will be fishing for people. From now on, your life will be aligned to God's purposes." And that's the challenge for us on Rally Day as we begin this new season of the year. For it's a time when we are reminded to look at our priorities, our commitments, our purpose. Where are we in life? I'm afraid that some of us, like Peter, may be more comfortable in the shallows, a place of mediocrity with shallow efforts, shallow pleasures, shallow hopes. That's why Jesus calls each one of us to push out a little deeper. Push out and deepen your faith. Deepen your relationship with God. Deepen your commitment to do the sometimes hard work of being a Christian. Go out of your way to show God's love and acceptance to the unloved, the unaccepted, the unchurched. Build relationships with your neighbors based on trust and support and encouragement. See how things change. Walk humbly with God so that you can be husbands and wives who are patient and loving. Be parents and grandparents who set good examples. Be honest, diligent workers. Generous givers. Faithful stewards. Compassionate servants to those in need. Obedient disciples. Do all these things so that your life becomes aligned with God's purpose for you. Because no matter what your age, from our kids sitting here to our nonagenarians in their 90s, God has a purpose for you. Yes, nothing can inspire more confidence, joy, and contentment in your daily living than knowing that God has a purpose for you and that you are wholeheartedly in harmony with it. I saw and experienced that last weekend. And I want us all to experience that as well. And so thanks, Dad.